You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, and I'm here with Kate Lochte and MSU's Center for Telecommunications Systems Management Associate Director Michael Ramage. Welcome to Sounds Good.
Thank you for having me.
Tracy, I hope you listened to Marketplace this morning because there was a report about Netflix and Comcast over the weekend that Michael is the guy to explain to us. The reason I asked Michael here today is that I started reading about the FCC seeking a new path on net neutrality rules. That was a New York Times article that I found after I heard it on the air, because the term net neutrality doesn't really mean much to me. And I've been sort of tangentially aware of the FCC activities about it. Primarily, it's to, and this is the interpretation of Edward Wyatt in the New York Times, regulators are taking another crack at their effort to keep the web free and open, introducing new rules that would discourage internet service providers from charging companies to stream their movies, music, and other content through a faster express lane. That sort of made more sense to me, but would you start, Michael, to frame what's happening now at the FCC?
Well, it really all goes all the way back. In 1996, they passed the Telecommunications Act of 96. And at that point, the internet as we know it today wasn't a thought. It wasn't contemplated. So they had what they called a telecommunications service, which is your telephone, and they had an information service, which typically is cable modem, not even a cable modem. There was also a third component of what they called a common carrier. So those three things played together, and there was broadcast sections and things to do with TV stations and radio stations, but those three areas were the most important components for telecommunications as we knew it back then. Then this thing called broadband, high-speed internet, World Wide Web was developed. And ever since then, the FCC has been trying to find ways to integrate internet into their regulation regime that they have. And it's difficult. So if you think about telephone, when you make a telephone call, no matter where it goes, you assume that it's going to get there. And it's not going to be, well, I like you, but I don't like the person you're calling, so we're going to disconnected, or I'm going to let you have the phone call, but only for 5 minutes, and then we're going to disconnect it. We assume that when we make a phone call, it goes through first come, first serve basis. When we pick up the dial tone, we get a dial tone, whatever it may be. It's not as easy to say that we're going to do that for the internet as well. And what net neutrality, it really means is transferring the information in a network neutral way. So that it's not going to look at, well, it's coming from this person or that person, that we're going to look at it and say that it's traffic and it moves from here to there, first come, first serve. And it's not quite that easy, unfortunately. It's not that easy for a couple reasons. One is that some traffic has to be there sooner than others. And this is really outside of the network neutrality debate right now. But there's also another thing going on at the FCC right now called IP transition. And IP transition accepts that everything is going to move from traditional telephone networks to broadband internet type networks, including your phone calls. So they're trying to figure out how to integrate what used to be a traditional telephone call onto the internet. And there's some complications with that, to say the least. For example, as I mentioned, if you're wanting your phone call to be there on a first-come, first-serve basis, then you have to prioritize that on the internet so to make sure it gets there.
I'm glad you revisited the first-come, first-serve, because that doesn't sound neutral at all. It sounds like I'm going to be in competition with other consumers for both phone and broadband. For broadband, period.
It is. So what some companies want to do is to prioritize certain types of traffic. And this is where we get to the slippery slope. We know that telephone calls need to be prioritized because if there's a delay, if there's a latency, we're not going to be happy about it and we're going to find a different carrier. So those obviously have to be prioritized. But what if you pay me a little bit extra for your traffic to be prioritized as well? Can I take that and then prioritize your traffic on my network as well? That's the concern, and actually that's exactly what Netflix and Comcast agreed to this weekend, is that they agreed to a peering arrangement so that Netflix can get priority access, that may not be the best term, but to Comcast subscribers, so that Netflix can connect directly to the Comcast network, and it will allow for easier download times for Comcast customers.
So is the idea of the FCC rulings to keep the American consumer from having to pay more?
It is. And in some ways, it's not an easy yes or no.
Okay.
Those that are in favor of net neutrality will say absolutely it is about keeping costs down so that you don't have to pay more for services that you shouldn't have to. On the flip side, you know, the free enterprise side of it, competition will keep price down. And if you want better service, then you go to find the type of services that you want. So it's not an easy yes or no. And it's also not an all or nothing thing either, because, for example, the voice that you do want to prioritize, and if you read through some of the wording in what the FCC announced last week that they were going to launch a new rulemaking process, there's a component of that that actually looks at what things are you doing on your network today to filter, to block. They're saying it's okay that you're doing some things. We just want to know what it is. For example, if it's illegal activity, if it's cybercrime, if somebody's trying to infringe on copyright, it's okay to block that, but we want to know about it. So they're on one hand encouraging some things, on the other hand discouraging some other things, and it gets real messy, to say the least.
Well, it's also a messiness that all of us are invited to weigh in on, actually.
It is. And if you walk back through the history of this debate, and I mean, you can take it all the way back to the Telecom Act, as I mentioned. There was also some content providers that sent a letter to the FCC to weigh in on it back in 2002. There were a number of court decisions that have happened since then, with the most recent being the Verizon appeal to the suing the FCC for saying they overstepped their bounds. In each of the rulemaking procedures along the way, there has been a comment period and typically a reply period to the comment period. And once the court overruled the FCC's authority to make the rules, a lot of people, if you read the news or hear on the news, a lot of people say, well, they blocked net neutrality and it's never going to happen. What they actually said is that the way that they did it was not legal. They overstepped their boundaries on the way that they did it in calling broadband providers a common carrier. It's a technical term, but what they also said in the ruling was that, but you do have some oversight of broadband, which if you ask the non-Verizon providers are probably pretty upset about that, because that's a pretty significant statement that the FCC did not have court or legislative authority to do or say, create rules on broadband. But in an indirect way, it was a huge victory for the FCC. So now what Chairman Wheeler said last week, which the importance of the day that he made that statement and issued that notice, was that it was the 30-day period after that court, after the D.C. court had made their ruling. So they had to do something on that day. They had to decide whether or not they were going to appeal the ruling and what they were going to do. So they opened up a new rulemaking process. And throughout this process, there will be an opportunity for anyone to submit comments. And we have had people even in this region that have submitted comments to that rulemaking process before.
I assume it's an open port at FCC.gov?
It is. It is. And they have a portal to submit comments and to read all the comments that are in there. And it's actually, if you're interested in telecom policy, you can learn a lot about what this group believes or that group believes by reading their comments.
Well, I sure do appreciate your being here today. When do you anticipate the next shoe will drop in this discussion?
The next piece will be the comment period for the rules, and it'll happen. That comment period would happen this year, maybe late spring, summer would be my guess at the earliest. But you know, then the rules have to be created, and there will be another lawsuit. It's going to happen. You know, Verizon probably would have liked to have appealed the fact that FCC has some say over broadband, but they can't because they won. So they're going to have to wait till new rules are put out before they can appeal or some other organization appeal that aspect.
Well, I appreciate you explaining it to us and hope that you'll come back as this issue continues to evolve for the American people. Thank you for being here.
I'm very welcome. Happy to come back anytime.